Well, it's good to be back in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. We were not invited to participate over the last couple of years because our program, the year they made the matchups, had finished 10th, or maybe it was 11th, and we didn't get into the top 10. So we've been on the sidelines the last couple of years. We've not had much success representing the SEC in this challenge. We won down at TCU a couple years ago, which I thought was a real significant win for our program and the SEC. And so here we are again with an opportunity to try to represent our league. Iowa State, obviously, it's a battle of the defending SEC tournament champions. Iowa State's been a great Big 12 tournament champion, and they won a lot of Big 12 tournament championships over the last bunch of years. They've been in the NCAA tournament 7 out of the last 8 years. They've won 20 games 7 out of the last 8 years. Their program is a top 25 program. They played a really tough schedule this year. They played Seton Hall couple times. They've already played at Texas Tech, at Baylor, and they played Kansas. They play in front of sellout crowds all the time, so Auburn Arena, will be hostile, hopefully by 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. But it's something I think they're used to. They have a young man named Tyrese Haliburton, who will be as good a players will play in the arena. What a treat for our fans to have seen Anthony Edwards, to see Neesmith from Vanderbilt. I mean, not to take anything away from anybody else, but now just the guys that are coming to my mind. Kentucky comes in next Saturday for the Outlive game. And now to see a guy that's going to be maybe the number one playmaking point guard taken in the NBA draft. He is, 6'6", long, playmaking guard, leads the Big 12 in assists, leads the Big 12 in steals, fourth in scoring, great three-point shooter, just got it all. Real thin, long body, brilliant in ball screens, and we've struggled defensively in ball screens some. So it'd be a tremendous challenge, for us. It just sort of reminds me of even like playing Vanderbilt, Vanderbilt team that is, obviously not one of the, it's just not going to be one of the better teams in our league this year by virtue of coaches getting there and rebuilding, but it was right down the wire for us against Vanderbilt, partly because, Neesmith started making shots. This kid's capable of making shots and making plays at any time. And they've got guys out there that can shoot it, too. So it'll be a great job. Really, really good offensive team. Special offensively. Defensively, they're good. They're not great. That's what the numbers say. That's not a criticism. It's just that as I build them up, you're wondering why am I building them up so much when they're 9-9. But they are 72 in the net, and which means they're right on the bubble of being in the top 68 teams in the NCAA tournament. We're 19 in the net, so the prize on our head is significant. Now, what I'm talking to my team about is obviously our program was invited to participate in this event for a reason. Last time we played in this event and we played at Iowa State was in 2013. We got beat 99-70. So the distance between the programs over the last 10 years, or certainly since Coach Prom and the coaches that are at Iowa State's been really good for 20, 25 years. So it's a great opportunity for us.
Bruce, your bench minutes this year, I think, are the lowest since you've been here as far as percentage of minutes. We saw what Devin did the other night. I'm sure you're wanting more out of your bench. What are some signs you're seeing there? Who are the guys you really say, hey, you've got to step up, step up your last half of the
season? Yeah. Wasn't aware that it was the lowest percentage. Doesn't surprise me because we have so many seniors that are starting. We have three newcomers and Anfernee coming off the bench right now. Anfernee's been really productive. And, you know, when Anfernee's in the game, we don't drop off. We just get different. And Anfernee did a lot of things against South Carolina to help us win the game. Everybody recognizes his ability to make shots defensively. He made a lot of plays to help us win the game. And then three newcomers as far as guards, Jamal Johnson, Devin Cambridge, and Alan Flanagan. The guys they're replacing are Samir Dowdy and Isaac Okoro. Well, Samir and Isaac are probably two of our top three or four performers, our most counted on players, our most consistent players. So when you have three newcomers replacing a senior and a fifth senior, which is my new name for Isaac Okoro. I said that 2 days ago and I kind of like it. He's a senior. Therein lies the fewer minutes because Samir and Isaac are two of the best defensive guards in our league and maybe in the country. Strong praise. A lot of weight on their shoulders. They're going up against a couple of tremendous offensive guards and Burton and Halliburton and this group. So I think that's the reason, because those guys are so much farther ahead of them defensively. Devin, Allen, Jamal. Offensively, you know, Allen can, you know, is going to be a really good player because he can get it downhill, he can make shots, and he's a physical defender. Devin obviously can show you that he can rise up and make shots, and he's got the great jumping ability. Jamal's a good shooter, and so if those guys could come off the bench and be better defensively, make shots, they'll play more. And when they do, we're going to be better.
The kind of performance that Devin had the other night, he was just unconscious there. Does it change things going forward for him? And does it change him at all? Does it change your thoughts about how many minutes he needs?
Well, I think it shows you why I have said that someday he could be our best player. That's a strong, strong statement. Because he has that kind of talent, that kind of ability. He's got a lot to learn. He's very anxious and hungry learner. Great kid, hard worker. And I would like to think that would give him some confidence to be able to, you know, to be able to help us more this season. And so we'll have to see how it goes. I don't anticipate there being a huge change in his. I believe that playing time and roles are earned over a long period of time. And I don't like when either my starters or the guys that know when they're playing feel like they have to play well to play in a short period of time. I want to judge them over a long period of time. Now, somebody gets hot, you feed the hot hand. Somebody starts playing a little better, you start playing a little bit more. But I don't see a huge swing.
What does it say, though, Devin, that, you know, he has that performance the other night? As soon as he gets done in here, he's out there on the court with just a couple of managers working on free throws for half an hour or whatever it was.
Well, it says a lot about him and his desire to be great. I think that one of the things that we had talked to him about before the game, because he had struggled in a free throw exercise that we had done before the game, and that prompted me to visit with him a little bit, going, hey, I know what you're capable of. You and I both know what your future is here, potentially, but this team needs you now. I mean, when you shoot like that, when you break down a little bit in this free throw contest, can't make a free throw, that doesn't give our team a lot of confidence heading into the game in about 3 hours. I said, and you're going to be counted on. I'm counting on you for more this year. That's not why he delivered more. He delivered more because of what our guards did, getting him open shots and a few things that he did, and then he knocked down those shots, and then he made those plays. But you saw what he was capable of. And then as far as him coming on the floor afterwards, that speaks to his desire to be great and the best he can be, and it speaks, to the culture of our program. Our guys do work hard. They do.
Am I wrong to think that his shot's a little odd looking?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got a funky.
You tempted to kind of mess with that when he got here?
Yeah. He's got a funky rotation. But there's a lot of muscle memory in that shot. You know, practice makes permanent, doesn't make perfect, and he's practiced it the wrong way for a long time. But, you know, Jamal Wilkes didn't shoot it very pretty, and he, that ball went in too. So I think in the offseason there could be tweaks, but I don't think there has to be a reset.
Whereas the starts, is that confidence making it, seeing a couple shots fall, or what are you kind of seeing from the start?
I think the same shots that we missed in the first 5 to 10 minutes of the South Carolina game were the same shots that Devin Cambridge made. Just wasn't any different. And I think the little, you know, for a little while in the first half, there was some buzz in the building going, that's a pretty good look, but these suckers aren't coming close. So that's our issue. That's one of our issues, is obviously being able to make those open shots.
That said, it looked like Dangelo's has been like unlucky having his shots rim out a lot here recently. Is there just anything more to do, or just have him keep shooting?
Just got to continue to do what he can do, and I think impact the game in other ways. Take pressure off the shot by, you know, defending and making plays defensively and rebounding and communicating and putting more pressure on the basketball and doing other things to. And then I would think that one of the things that Dangelo probably does is put a lot of pressure on his shot. It's almost like, here's a good example. It's almost like Anfernee, in the sense that Anfernee has really loved the fact that he's a stretch five man, and he's hard to game plan for, and that's hard to play against when you put a five man that can step out and shoot it. It's just, he's going to get open shots. In the game on Wednesday, Anfernee didn't make a shot, but he had a great impact in the game, and I just think that takes pressure off a shot. So if Dangelo did a great job against Kotsar defensively. Kotsar was way under his average, and Dangelo had him. So Dangelo did a nice job defensively. Dangelo contributed to our win. But I'm sure in his mind, his best chance to feel good about himself is by making shots. Put a lot of pressure on that ball.
I know you touched on it back in November when Sharif signed, but to see him get that McDonald's All-American, now, just what does that say about him, and what does it mean for this program?
Yeah, because he signed, I'm able to comment on Sharif. We've been a program that's been McDonald's-less, or McDonald's All-American-less, and I kind of like that. I've had a lot of guys that I thought should have been McDonald's All-Americans that weren't. We don't wear the right shoe, and we're not made for television or branded by, you know, special, you know, preseason events, and I get it. We're not there. Those programs recruit great players because they're great programs and great coaches and great television exposure, and they get all the McDonald's All-Americans. We got to play against them. What I don't want to happen, and I think in some cases with like a Mustafa Heron or Isaac Okoro, coming to Auburn didn't help their ability to get in the McDonald's game. That bothers Isaac Okoro. It bothers me because kids in high school want to be in that game. Sharif Cooper almost delayed his signing because he was concerned it would cost him a chance to get in the McDonald's All-American game. That tells you a little bit about the politics. But he was the National Player of the Year a year ago on an undefeated team. His team was ranked number one in the country. He's played this year in spite of a pretty decent groin injury. He's not even been 100%. And without Babatunde and without Isaac, his high school team is not what they were in the past. And yet he played through it because he really did want. To be a McDonald's All-American, being an All-American, that's it. So when I say these things, I know it's a very high honor. And but these high school kids want it. They work so hard for it that you don't want to be a place that hurts their chances to get it. So it's great for Sharif, we're really proud of him. Only the third time in Auburn history have we signed have we had a McDonald's All-American. And I can just tell you, this young man's worked his tail off, because physically, you know, he's. Remember when I told you that Jared Harper was going to be worth the price of admission? So will this guy.